You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It is such an honor to have Steve Patterson here today. I'm not kidding when in the past I've been preaching on the Gospel of Thomas. I have emailed him or texted him and said, "Help! What do you think about this?" And he gets back to me because he is one of the world authorities on the Gospel of Thomas. So I would tell you to turn in your Bible to the passage for today, but sadly, it is not there. And it's not there for a variety of reasons, but many of us believe that it is on par with the canon scriptures that we do have. And so it's really important for us to consider how these texts work together. So today we're going to hear in the mellifluous tones of Dean Sorensen a reading from the Gospel of Thomas. No pressure, Dean. I'm also really excited because this is not just a standard translation. This is actually the official translation that's out there in the world by Stephen J. Patterson. So you could read it in Greek, I bet. Yeah, well, we maybe a little bit. So let's hear from Dean Sorensen on our section from Thomas chapter 3.
Jesus says, "If those who lead you say to you, 'Look, the kingdom is in the sky,' then the birds of the sky will precede you. If they say to you, 'It's in the sea,' then the fishes will precede you. Rather, the kingdom is inside of you and outside of you. When you come to know yourselves, then you'll be known, and you will realize that you are the children of the living Father. If you do not come to know yourselves, then you exist in poverty, and you are poverty." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Mr. Sorensen, I don't suppose you've ever read from the Gospel of Thomas before in the liturgical setting. Well, I've actually never preached on the Gospel of Thomas before either. I've studied it. So I was kind of delighted when David invited me to come and actually preach on a passage from the Gospel of Thomas this morning. It's a passage that it may sound a little bit familiar to you. I don't know if it did or not, but it's kind of a version of a similar saying in the Gospel of Luke where Jesus says, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed. Do not say, 'Lo, here it is,' or 'There it is,' for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." And when he says within you, he uses a plural you for some reason. And it's like the kingdom of God is within you all. Not you personally, but you all. And this saying is kind of a version of that saying. It's one of my favorites in the Gospel of Thomas. And the part that I like the most is the part that goes, "When you come to know yourselves, then you will be known, and you will realize that you are children of the living Father." And I like that part because, like all of the Gospels, the Gospel of Thomas gives its own twist to the sayings of Jesus. And this is where you see the thumbprint of whoever was writing the Gospel of Thomas. "When you come to know yourselves," know yourself. Know thyself. Have you ever heard that saying? Yeah, that's a pretty famous one, isn't it? It goes all the way back to the pre-Socratic. Some people think that it was originally Thales who said it. And in that very old, old tradition, know thyself was usually interpreted to mean, know thyself and know that thou art merely human. In other words, know thyself. Know thy place. But in the later period, and in authors and writers, you hear this saying in, say, the time contemporary to the emergence of Christianity. It's come to mean something completely different. Then it comes to mean, know thyself and know that thou art divine. That you have a piece of the divine in you that you need to listen to. And Christian scribes and sages took up the saying and thought about it in those terms. And that's why it says you will be, when you know yourself, when you know yourselves, you will be known and you will realize that you are children of the living Father. There's something very special about you. You all. Know thyself and know that thou art merely human. Know thyself and know that thou art divine. Which of those two do you believe? Which do you think is true? Are we basically good or are we basically bad? Human beings have struggled with this question for a long, long time. If you go to Genesis, you see the same question laid before us. In Genesis 1 to 3, you may have noticed at some point that Genesis actually has two creation stories. And in the first one, in Genesis chapter 1, the text says that God created Adam in the image of God. The image of God. But in the second story, in Genesis 2 and 3, Adam gets created again. I don't know if you know this. Go home and read your Bible this afternoon. Yeah, that's a good activity for a Sunday afternoon. And you'll see that Genesis 2 has a second story, and this is where Adam is created from the dust of the earth. Created in the image of God. Created from the dust of the earth. And that's the Adam, by the way, who sins, who falls from grace, and who is generally a mess. Which of those stories is your story? Which of those stories is our story? Created in the image of God, or created from dust, fallen, broken, irredeemable? Our tradition has struggled with this question for a long time too. Augustine, Luther, Calvin, they all thought we were a mess. Daniel is a skinhead. He's one of these guys that you see. I don't know if you see him in Fountain Hills or not. Do you have skinheads out here? A lot of them? Okay, yeah. And, you know, what's that? It'll look like yeah, right. I'm kind of a skinhead. You're kind of a skinhead. Yeah, we're kind of skinheads here. Tattoos, piercings. He's a tough cookie. He's a rough-looking guy. And when he first came into our church, he came about 20 minutes late, and that's when my wife, who happens to be the pastor of our church, gives me a signal, which is, go welcome the stranger. Make sure you meet the stranger who's coming in the door. And I did, and met him, Daniel, and he went and sat next to Janice and her mom, Gloria, so Daniel's with Janice. Now, Janice is kind of like Daniel. She's like a female version of Daniel. She's a pretty tough cookie, too. I'm not sure which one I'd rather meet in a dark alley. You know. But Gloria, Janice's mom, is not like, Gloria is like a church lady. She's salt of the earth. Now, I come from Oregon, of course. Grew up in South Dakota. And there's a certain church lady style there. There's a certain church lady style here. In Oregon, there's a certain church lady style. It's basically slacks and a fleece vest. A Columbia fleece vest. And those kind of shoes that they look like wooden shoes, but they're made of leather. What are they called? Clogs, yeah. Danskos. Birkenstocks. Yeah, summertime maybe. Yeah. But in Oregon, it's the Danskos. Or Keens. So she's a church lady. She's basically good. Basically good. I mean, she is salt of the earth. Are we basically good or are we basically bad? Augustine and Luther and Calvin thought they were getting there basically bad. We are basically messed up from Paul, and Paul gives us good reason to think that. And remember what he says. The good that I would do, I do not. And that which I should not do, alas, it is that which I do. And that's true too, isn't it? And yet, just a few chapters later in his epistle to the Romans, where that famous passage occurs, he says that when we cry out, Father, Abba, Father, when we are praying, it is the Spirit that bears witness to the fact that we are children of the living Father. Are we basically bad or basically good? The universe doesn't seem to help us with this. It would be nice if it would give us good, clear signals, right? Who is good and who is bad? The good should prosper. The bad should suffer. But there it is. You got Daniel, who's healthy as an ox. He's never had a sick day in his life. And you got there's Gloria, who's got type 1 diabetes and is stage 5 in kidney failure. Needs a kidney. Is waiting and just can't find a match. The universe doesn't help us much. You know these scenarios, these why me scenarios or why her scenarios, right? It just doesn't seem fair. And from Jesus' words, it seems as though it's designed that way, isn't it? Isn't it what he said in the Gospel of Matthew? It says, love your enemies, do good to those who persecute you, because then you will be like your Father in heaven, who makes the sun to shine on the good and the bad alike, who makes the rain to fall on the good and the evil alike. Be like your Father in heaven and love indiscriminately. So maybe that's it. Maybe that we can do the good, but we can be like God, but we could love like God loves if we could just find it in ourselves to do it. So why don't we do it more often? Why don't we love as God loves unstintingly? Is it that we don't expect it from ourselves? We don't really know that we can. We don't really know ourselves in this way. We expect little from others, and so we expect little from ourselves. We believe that we are fallen and broken and flawed. If you come to know yourselves, you will realize that you are children of the living Father. Know thyself. There's another saying from Thomas that I threw in and I thought might be a good text for this morning also. This is saying 70 from the Gospel of Thomas. This is not quite so familiar, but it's kind of one of my favorites. Jesus said, if you bring it into being within you, then that which you have will save you. If you do not have it within you, then that which you do not have within you will kill you. If you bring into being what you have, it will save you. If you do not have it within you, then that which you do not have will kill you. Do you have it in you? That's the question, isn't it? Do we have it in us to be the children of God, to do the good that we ought to do? Do we have it in us to love like God loves? I mentioned that Gloria needs a kidney. And it turns out that they just found out that Daniel is a perfect match. Janice can't do it because she's got diabetes too, so she's out of the picture. But Daniel, just of all things, turns out Daniel is a perfect match. And he's going to give Glory one of his kidneys. Turns out we only need one to really get by. I would think somebody with Daniel's background would need all the help he can get, all the kidney power he could muster, but apparently you can get along with one, and so he's giving Glory one of his kidneys. Turns out Daniel has it in him, literally and figuratively. Oh, Daniel looks messed up, and frankly, I'm pretty sure he is messed up. He's real messed up. But he is also a child of the living Father, and he knows himself, at least in this measure. He knows what he can do to give life to another, even as in the beginning, God gave life to Adam. When you come to know yourselves, you will be known, and you will realize that you are children of the living Father. I've never concluded a sermon based on the Gospel of Thomas before, so I'm not sure what to say. Should I say, do I hear an amen to any of that? Amen. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the Fountains. For more information on our faith community or to support this outreach with a donation, be sure to visit us online at www.reachtouchteach.com.